Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two of Fantasy Sports today is here. The Phillies have their new manager. We tried a manager way between some quarterbacks in the NFL this week. Is Steph Curry a Hall of Famer? Maybe not, according to Michael Jordan. And we'll talk about some of the players that could have been stars in the NFL. Fantasy Sports Today, hour number two, starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Toward the end zone, it is caught! Seattle's going to the Super Bowl!
Fires up the middle, pass is caught by Owens. Owens made the catch.
Oh, pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable. Toss to White. He's in. Patriots win the Super Bowl.
And welcome back. This is hour number two of Fantasy Sports Today, our 1 o'clock Eastern hour. Craig Mish, as always, along with Joe Pizzapia with you here on the show. Sean Guastamacchia is producing our program, and we have full-time fantasy coming your way at the top of the hour with a key day of injury updates on the field on this Thursday. Before we get into some of the news and notes, let me ask you about a trade I was offered. Joe, you tell me if you would do this. 4-3 record in a 12-team league where a stupid amount of teams make the playoffs that I just realized yesterday. 8 teams out of 12. Don't ask me why. Yeah, terrible.
Okay. Game.
Run by a bunch of baseball players. Go figure that one.
No. All right.
So 8 teams out of 12. And I'll be honest, it's the Phillies League. Okay. So this is the Philadelphia Phillies Fantasy League, and I'm involved in it. Okay.
Nice alliteration.
So a trade offer was made. The owner, we couldn't figure this one out. The owner was 2-5 and offered a trade to us. He's a Dalvin Cook owner. But why a 2-5 team would do this, I'm not sure. But we have to make a decision today. The offer is, our team gets Latavius Murray, and we trade Alexander Mattison to this owner. Now, let me walk you through it, and you tell me whether or not you think that we should do it. My thought process is this. If I knew that Alvin Kamara was out this week, even 1 week, Joe, I would do this deal right now. Done. Let me throw Latavius Murray into my flex, and we have Chris Carson. We have Christian McCaffrey. Give me Murray.
Especially against Arizona. You have a great matchup, too.
Give me Murray in the flex for a week. Give me my 15 points. Give me the bye week the following week, and we never play him again. Because guess what? Are we going to play Alexander Mattison all season long? I don't know. Now, I guess the opposing owner is thinking, well, you know, as long as I'm 4-5, 6-7, I'm getting in the playoffs with 12 teams. And if something happens to Cook, I'm backing him up with Mattison. I mean, we have that wild card there. And that's the only reason we have him, Joe, is we're waiting for the wild card to happen. You know, Cook to get hurt. Of course, that's what we're waiting for. But I'm willing to buy a win. I mean, I think this could buy us a win with getting Murray in there solo. But here's the problem. The Vikings play tonight. And so you can't make a trade for a player that already played on Thursday night after the game is over. So the other flex options, Joe, would be Josh Gordon. No longer. Yeah,
not an option.
Done. Yeah. Right. So we dropped him, picked up Dorsett. Okay. Immediately when it happened. This is one of those first come first. Grab Dorsett. Okay. Now we have him. Valdez-Scantling. Oh my gosh. Again, are we going to go down this road with Valdez-Scantling? Can you
play him? Well, he's we know what he is. Yeah.
We know. Right. Or do we make the deal, have Latavius Murray in our hip pocket, and if Kamara is out Sunday, play him? Because I got to tell you, Joe, if Kamara's playing, we ain't playing Latavius Murray, and it turns out to be a bad trade for us.
I'll tell you what, if you go back 2 weeks ago, even when Alvin Kamara was on the field, Latavius Murray played. I'm of the mind right now that there, if you're asking me to put a percentage on this, I'm thinking it's more like a 75% chance that Latavius Murray is useful. Now, that's just the word useful. You could even trend all the way up to the concept of Kamara being out and him getting 100% of the volume there. But at the very least, I think he's got goal line upside and touchdown upside. And I think if you're talking about flex spot, that's a huge opportunity with a chance to really put some scoring out there. And if Drew Brees plays, that's also something, too, where you have to consider the chances of them being even better on offense at home in that dome. So I will take the shot at the W. I really
wow.
will.
Okay.
I will take the shot at the W because you're basically sitting on a lottery ticket of Madison, which is I get it. I understand.
Oh, there's a good point for every. He should be owned in every league.
He should be owned in every league. But I think that it's a very fair deal for everybody involved because they're both just lottery tickets. But I think the chances of you cashing in yours this week are better than 50%. So even if Kamara is playing, how limited is he? Is he going to be the guy who gets goal line work? Probably not in that situation, especially when they got a bye coming up. They have a real opportunity here, even if Brees comes back, to go look at it and go, why are we forcing Kamara? You could see a situation just like last week with the Cardinals themselves, where DJ is just an emergency guy. He's not even a guy that's going to contribute. He's just there if things don't go well. And I'll tell you what, they added two more running backs yesterday. That's not a good sign for DJ.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That is not a good sign.
Let me follow up on this because we won't have a chance to, because the 3 o'clock usually 3 o'clock Eastern is when everybody finds out about everything. What if you heard that Kamara practiced in full today?
If Kamara practiced in full today, I would hold on to the lottery ticket.
Yeah, that's my opinion. If he doesn't, then that's 2 days of no practice.
And you're really trending in a good direction by Thursday. That even if Kamara was limited, it would give me pause. But I don't know, man. I feel like even limited means he's going to be limited Sunday. And who's to say they don't have a fair enough lead where you really don't want to press Kamara? There's so many positives towards Latavius Murray being useful this week than there are negatives. The negative would be Kamara came out, he practiced in full, he's awesome, he's ready to go.
Right, then we're not doing the deal.
And you're not doing the deal?
We're not doing the deal.
I don't know if we're there.
Well, we'll find out today. We're going to make the decision today. We have to make it before the game. That's the unfortunate part. I would have loved to take this right to Saturday. And wait.
I'm
and see.
Curious if DJ gets traded. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I wonder if Arizona's just ready to continue to move on and rebuild this team.
Maybe. Can't trade him hurt, though, Joe. Can't trade him hurt.
No, but he was on the field, quote unquote, last week. So.
Yeah, but yeah. No trade with a guy hurt. He doesn't play this week. He's not getting dealt. Maybe in the offseason. That's a good point, though. Mahomes looks, there were some reports Andy Reid said that he's practicing, could play. I think you and I are in agreement. That's stupidity. We shouldn't waste another minute on this. He's not playing Sunday. It's over. It's like Thielen coming out saying that he should be good, right? Same thing.
No, why would you do this? Why would you try to get that? Oh, my God. It reeks of desperation. Why would you ruin the best asset in football right now by pressing him for an extra week or two?
Yeah. The division is horrible. They should be able to get in the playoffs. I mean, come on. Like even with a loss this week to Green Bay, if it happens, come on. Like,
right, but you're not going to be able to get in the playoffs if he enters something worse.
That's the thing. You cannot win anything without him.
Yeah. Well, I am of the firm belief that the ankle injury was a problem, and I've talked to enough doctors over the years on all these sports shows here where they always say the same thing. When you have an injury somewhere in the leg, it tends to travel somewhere else to another part of the leg in some fashion because there's a weakness there and the body overcompensates. And sure enough, here we go. We got a weird thing, another freak injury with the leg. So all I know is that this would be absolute madness for them to try to run him out there a week after this. Just crazy.
All right, so that's our quarterback update report. Joe mentioned Drew Brees, who looks at least questionable this week. We'll have to see what ends up happening. I'm going to have to make a decision on Teddy Bridgewater, unfortunately, and take that right up until Sunday. Interesting story that we're going to get to a little bit later in the show. Michael Jordan had some interesting comments that we want to talk about. Jordan talking about Steph Curry and potentially his future, whether or not he will be in the Hall of Fame or not. Real quick, Joe, before we go to the break here, NBA last night, I don't know, are you... Just from a conceptual point of view, as we open up the second hour of the show, how much NBA are you watching at this point? I got to be honest, I'm watching none, man. I feel bad to say that, and people are going to crush me for it, but...
No, it's fine. Look, I was Mr. NBA for most of my childhood, and then I told you, from 1985 to the year 2000, I was a huge NBA guy, maybe in 2002, and then it just kind of started to tail off there, and I'm hoping to get back into it. I told you, this is my plan this year. My daughter's getting into basketball. She wants to watch some games. She told me this year. I said, let's do that. That sounds like fun. I like the fact that the talent is more dispersed this year, so it's more intrigue for me. So I'm going to try to watch more. Last year was none. I can tell you that. I will watch the finals on occasion. Like, I'll be flipping around. I'll watch a little bit. But even March Madness, like, I'm somebody who will not watch a second of March Madness.
That's different for me. Yeah,
no, yeah, I know. Again, I get it. But that's not my bag. But if, you know, I miss tough basketball. And right now, there's not a lot of tough basketball out there.
All right, we'll take a quick time out on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back next, there are some teams, and listen, I'm looking at some of the teams in my league. I'm seeing some 0-7s. I'm seeing some 1-6s. And especially if you're playing in a dynasty league, we're going to have an interesting dynasty segment coming up next. Joe Pisapia, Craig Mish with you on Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's up? I'm Laura Carenti.
And I'm Alexa Kristen. We're the co-hosts of Adlandia, the advertising industry's most thought-provoking podcast.
We are here with Lisa Bradner, GM of Analytics, and Teddy Jaudi, Head of Product from Yieldmo.
So we're here to talk with Lisa and Teddy about making attention actionable. Let's start from the top. What is Yieldmo?
Yieldmo is a next generation marketplace powered by attention analytics, superior formats, and real-time data. We were really trying to say, how do we connect this ecosystem and make everything flow? I like to step back and say, all right, great, we've built the infrastructure, but let's talk about what we're putting through those pipes.
That's what we try to do at Yieldmo. Is we try to, you know, there's great technology out there. You can buy ads and serve them anywhere, but what is actually making an impact? And we focus on trying to allow marketers to see that.
Always have to be listening for that surprise signal that signals an opportunity you may not be thinking about. And our agile data structure allows our brands to work with us to do just that.
Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Adlandia Podcast and listen to Adlandia on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering five of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/best bets.
Fantasy Sports Today.
And I like football. And I'm going to keep doing them both because they make me feel good.
And welcome back. It is Fantasy Sports Today here on the show. Full-time fantasy is coming your way at the top of the hour at 2 o'clock Eastern. Adam Ronis, Dr. Roto, they got you covered. And we'll give you all the injury updates of everything going on in the NFL. The latest on Adrian Peterson, who appears to be ready to go for the Redskins tonight, and they will need him because there's gonna be a lot of running, I think, in that game tonight with the Redskins and the Vikings. We both know they love to run those teams. Well, where's your team right now in fantasy? And are you playing in a dynasty league? Are you playing in a redraft league? There's nothing more deflating than at this stage in October knowing you're done. And let's be honest, if you're 0-7 in a fantasy league, you're done. If you're 1-6 in a fantasy league, you're done. If you're 2-5, this is probably it for you. In most normal fantasy leagues of 12 teams or more, where half the teams make the playoffs at most. In my wacky Phillies league, 8 teams make it. I get it. You can be 6-7 and still get in. So I suppose you have hope at 2-5. But realistically, Joe, it's perhaps start to take a look at some of the players who you may want in dynasty leagues moving forward.
Well, yeah, and you have to be realistic and see where you are and understand that you can rebuild very quickly in the NFL. Fantasy football, you can rebuild with some good waiver wire pickups towards the end of the year. You can make some good deals and even next year have a good draft and really make up a lot of ground potentially. So there's a lot of people who like to trade players for picks and all that stuff. And I will always be one of these people who trades picks for players because give me the known entity over the unknown anytime. I feel like picks, especially in the Dynasty League, can be vastly overrated. However, I tried to come up and this was kind of a difficult practice too, because I guess it's a little bit of value in the eye of the beholder. But at the same time, I was like, okay, what are the top 12 dynasty assets that we could say, for one reason or other, make arguments and go back and forth in this. And maybe you have some different opinions on this, Craig.
Yeah, but I do, for sure. From your list. That, yeah.
You know, and I'll give you my reasoning as to why these guys in this order.
Okay.
But I'm going to start with Mahomes. Mahomes, despite this recent injury, I still feel like going forward, this is the guy that you can lock in there every week, no matter what format you're playing in, and know that you're going to be a very high floor team with the upside for a guy who's going to win you a week. And the way the NFL is set up, you're in a spot where he is the most protected asset of any of the other guys at the quarterback position. Because it's the quarterback position, those guys are worth a little bit more in Dynasty, no matter what the format, because you know the NFL is protecting them. And that's a positive thing. So I'm going to start with Mahomes as my number one. Let's start with that. Do you take umbrage with that and having him being, you know, the number one asset in fantasy football?
Number one. Oh, man.
We know the attrition of injuries in running backs. I mean, yeah. let's not pretend like, you know, we have Todd Gurley for a year or two. You know, we got Dalvin Cook this year, but where was he the last couple of years? The workload of CMC.
I don't have a huge problem with it. I could agree there. I think that's fair, but again, it's formatically very important to know.
Sure.
You know what the deal is. I mean, Superflex leagues, he is without a doubt. I mean, it's not even close.
Superflex leagues without a doubt, even in half or full point PPR, I still think every week, even if it's a four touchdown league, I don't care. Mahomes, we have not even seen the best of him yet. I'm hard, especially now that Andrew Luck is off the table too. There's not a whole lot of these guys that you're looking at the young quarterbacks. Baker Mayfield certainly didn't put himself into this conversation.
You know what? The issue I have with your list here, honestly, is that if you are, here's what I don't understand. And for people who are listening to the show, they can't see what I'm looking at here. But here's the issue that I have. How can you have, Joe, respectfully, Patrick Mahomes as the number one guy and not have Lamar Jackson at two or three if you have Mahomes at one?
Because we've already seen a MVP season from him, and we've seen a couple of really good games from Lamar Jackson. So I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. At the end of the year,
I think that conceptually speaking, without the names, if you have a quarterback this high, you have to have another quarterback that high too.
Well, I do. His name is Deshaun Watson, though.
Yeah, that's not your second or third or fourth. This is just an opinion, and so you're certainly entitled to it. But I would personally have Lamar Jackson in my top five. If I had Mahomes at one, I would have Lamar Jackson in my top five. But from this point of view, that's perfectly fine.
I believe, like I said, the point of view for me is you have to have Lamar Jackson as the top 12, but he's had a run of some really good games. What happens as teams continue to, and the other thing with Lamar Jackson is a dynasty asset you have to keep in mind, because he is a running quarterback, he has far more exposure to injury.
Yep, that's fair. Others.
Yep, that's far fair. More exposure than Patrick Mahomes has, far more than Deshaun Watson has, more than probably anybody outside of maybe Josh Allen has right now. So the fact that he is more mobile makes him even though it makes him a great asset, it makes him a riskier one. There's no way about that. You can't deny that fact. So that's why I'm not willing to put him top five yet, or even top 10 yet. Now, at the end of the year, that might change. I might say, you know what? It's time to just anoint him and put the crown on him and let's go. But I think we can't do that as good fantasy analysts quite yet. And this is the time where people have to start making moves and acquiring these talents. Barkley, I'm going to put ahead of CMC for now. I'm okay if people want to argue CMC. I'm okay with that. The workload continues to pile up, which is great, but how long can it last? I don't know. I'll take my chances with the body type of Barkley. Do you have a problem with this one?
It's not a problem. I would have McCaffrey second. Yeah.
Okay. So you would flip-flop those potentially.
Yeah, and I wouldn't have Barkley third either.
Okay, so who would you have third?
I would have Dalvin Cook third.
Okay, now how do you put Cook? Because again, this is a short sample, six games. Of Cook being out of this world,
got to take that shot. Got to take that shot. It's the same thing as you taking the shot on Barkley. You saw one season. You have number two,
right? But I also saw one season. He only played one season. Where Dalvin Cook's been in the league for 3 years.
Yeah, Barkley got hurt in his second season. He's playing on a bad team, potentially on a bad offense. I cannot have him second anymore. I have
Barkley played year, almost as many games in his career as Dalvin Cook. I just want to point that out. Dude.
Yeah, and has been hurt as much now as it turns out.
Well, as much? No. Dalvin Cook missed an entire season, basically. So I don't want to like put that on him.
Listen, it's subject to opinion. I have McCaffrey second.
I am in Dynasty.
I have Cook third. And then I would have Barkley fourth at that point. Elliott has to be in the conversation for consistency, but you know, Elliott is not having those league winning games, but he's super consistent. So
and this is good because you're getting two points of view. You're getting somebody who's less risk adverse like Craig and somebody who's a little bit more risk adverse with your crown jewel pieces that you're going to build around every year, and also where you can find the turnover at positions too. So keep that in mind. I'm going to go at number five with Watson. because I just feel like where he's at in terms of skill set, now the line's playing better. So any concerns you might have had, you can kind of put away. Plus, he has a fantastic weapon in Hopkins, who I have at 6. So they're kind of tied together. I have Dalvin Cook 7. So do you have any problems with Watson and Hopkins kind of in this top 10 territory?
No, I think that's fine. No, okay. I think that's, I'm good with that so far.
Now, the only reason I have Michael Thomas at 8 is because I don't know who the quarterback is for the Saints next year. Maybe it's Drew Brees. Maybe it's not. This injury here, I wonder if we're getting towards the end here. So yeah, that's
he's safe for me.
He is very safe. He's still top 10. I just wonder if they do change. And Teddy Bridgewater's been really good, but it's a small sample. So if people want to say, you know, you put Hopkins up at 5 or 6, Michael Thomas at 5 or 6, I have no qualms with that. This is where after the 8 that it gets a little dicey for me. So the names that I put on here were Nick Chubb at 9, Josh Jacobs, who I think is trending in that right direction here as the focal point of this Raiders offense going forward. And I was not concerned with the workload or lack of in college. A lot of people had concerns. He looks great. So Chubb, Jacobs.
He's hurt, though. He's been hurt a couple weeks now.
Well, I'm a Chubb, about Jacobs, him. And Fournette, to me, I think that's your 9, 10, 11. And then Lamar Jackson is 12 for me. Now, do you have anybody who's not in this 12 that you want to make an argument for that you feel I've overlooked?
Not really. I don't know that I would have Jacobs and Fournette, but I'm probably, it's just the running back is so thin that I probably think that I could find a better option, but I probably cannot.
Here's the thing. It's even if you pivot to the wide receivers right now, are you ready to anoint Godwin? I'm not.
There's a guy in the draft that I think will be better than all these guys, but
who's that guy?
Jerry Jeudy. I would rather have him than any of these from Alabama. Okay.
Well, that's fair. But again, these are not assets you can acquire.
It's hard to do. I'm a little disappointed with Hopkins with the fact that it looks like that. And Fuller's never healthy, so I guess that's fine. And he's going to be out a while. But it does seem like they're moving away from super targeting Hopkins. That was disappointing. Michael Thomas is as solid as anybody could be.
It is.
Yeah, he should be the number one receiver off the board in every league.
And I'm fine with that. Like I said, I'm kind of tying in the whole where are we at with quarterback.
Yeah, I think there's small difference of opinions.
Right.
Lamar Jackson's ability to run the ball and get 100 yards every game and rush for 1,500 yards is Vic-ish. And Vic-ish in a dynasty league is number one or number two. And that's if he's Michael Vick, he's number one or number two. So he has to be, for me, a lot higher. And even with the injury risk. And again, Lamar Jackson may be out of the league in 3 years. But for this year and next, a guy that's rushing for 100 yards every game in the NFL as a quarterback with the ability to throw is Vic,
yeah.
Is Steve Young, is Cunningham.
And I like to build dynasty teams for 3-year windows. I think that's the most you can get your mind around, especially because a lot of these leagues will fold after 3 years sometimes.
Yeah,
so you don't want to get too far ahead of yourself. But let's see if Lamar Jackson continues on this path. I think you're right. I think he goes into the top 5. So he's the guy that has
in a 12-team redraft league right now for next year, knowing what you know, Lamar Jackson is a first-round pick in fantasy. He is. I mean, it's what. So I don't know if he's back end, if he's 10, 9, 2, but he's in there. All right, we got to take a quick timeout. When we come back, players who have not lived up to expectations in fantasy over historical purposes, we'll hit that next on the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hi, this is Bowen Yang here, and if you're as excited as I am about the upcoming fourth season of Search Party on HBO Max, then you'll want to tune in to Search Party, the podcast. I'm sitting down with the creators and stars of the dark comedy to delve deeper into the disturbing world inhabited by Dory, Drew, Elliot, and Portia. And to help us discuss Search Party's most prominent themes, we're inviting a very special celebrity fan to join each chat, folks like Paul Scheer, Vanessa Bayer, Busy Phillips, Taryn Killam, and Carrie Brownstein, among many others. I couldn't be more excited to talk with these folks about one of my favorite shows on TV. So join us as we review classic moments, share behind-the-scenes anecdotes, and analyze the complex characters and unpredictable plot lines that make the series oh so much fun. Search Party Season 4 comes to HBO Max on January 14th. Meanwhile, be sure to subscribe to Search Party, the podcast, which premieres December 14th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These days, it feels like we're on 24/7. Between work, friends, family, and a million things piling up left and right, the nonstop hustle has taken over. And it's kind of a lot. Sure, Rise and Grind is all fine and dandy, but sometimes you just need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for a Coors Light. It's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold-lagered, cold-filtered, and cold-packaged. It's as refreshing and crisp as the Colorado Rockies, perfect for a moment to unwind. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. So when you want to hit reset, reach for Coors Light, the only beer that is mountain cold refreshment, made to chill. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light in their new look, delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish along with Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. Full-time fantasy is coming your way at the top of the hour. They'll have the latest around the NFL, some news and notes in terms of injuries. And earlier in the show, we talked about the possibility of Josh Gordon being done in the NFL. And look, that certainly has to be part of the conversation. And unfortunately for Gordon, it was a lot of talent that was unfulfilled for really some unfortunate demons and personal stuff for him this year. Supposedly it's about injuries. I'm sure we'll find out a lot more about that over the coming weeks. But regardless, Gordon's not going to play this week in the NFL. There's no doubt about that. Maybe he ends up with another team in need of wide receiver or another team that's willing to take him on in a reclamation project. But there have been a lot of players over the course of their careers who have gotten off to great starts and then kind of left their promise unfulfilled for one reason or another in fantasy and in reality, too, Joe. And an interesting list that you've compiled here on the show, some really unfortunate because of death, some unfortunate because of injury for sure. And who would you say that overall is the one that sticks out in your mind the most?
Well, Terrell Davis was so dominant for that short period of time. He was so dominant that with basically two great seasons, he made the Hall of Fame, which I took umbrage with only because at the time when he got in, there were other guys kind of not in. I want to say it was like T.O. was still floating around. Some other guys were still floating around where they should have been in the Hall of Fame. And that was kind of a little crazy there. So I didn't take umbrage because he wasn't great. He just wasn't great for a very long period of time. But when you watch Terrell Davis, there was no doubt he was the best player in the NFL for those couple of years. And if he had gotten to play for another even 3 years, I mean, that would have been one of these guys I think we look back on and go, man, that's one of the great running backs to ever play. But unfortunately, we just didn't get it. But he has definitely got to be in that conversation, don't you think? And did you have a problem with them putting him in the Hall of Fame with such a body of work?
A little bit, but the NFL is different. They have to put five guys in every year. So the pool of picking is a lot different when it's a mandatory type thing. The reason what I think about, honestly, Joe, when I think about Terrell Davis, and I did win a championship with him. I don't know if it was year one or year two. It may have been year one that I had him. And then I think I didn't have him the second year. And then I did have him the third year when he got hurt. But when I think of Terrell Davis, honestly, Joe, I think of all the guys that came after him that were awesome. It, to me, that started a historic run in the NFL.
Landis Gary and
Mike Anderson. God.
Mike Anderson, yeah, this is the string of great running backs in that system.
Yeah, if you remember, even after those guys, Ruben Drones, Quentin Griffin was taken very high in fantasy, and he busted out the first week of the season, I believe, on a Monday night against the Raiders, had 150 yards, and then did nothing the rest of the season. But they just kept plugging in running back after running back, and we're missing other guys, by the way.
Well, they didn't win any Super Bowls without Terrell Davis either.
No, but they were all fantasy, super they were fantasy, all
fantasy studs. But I think you and I know enough about sports with the eye test to know the difference of Terrell Davis in a really good system. And yeah, maybe the system helped him be, maybe he went from very good to great, but the other guys they took from mediocre to very good. And I think that's the best way I could say it. Bo Jackson was number two for me. And I often wonder if had he just played one sport, what he would be. As miraculous of a baseball player he was, there were some deficits in his game with the strikeouts and other stuff, but I've never seen anybody do some of the things in the field that on a baseball field with Bo Jackson did, but on a football field, if he had just always had full training camp and he had played with a really good team, I often wonder what kind of career we'd look back with Bo Jackson.
But before we move on, I want to go back. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
No, I want to go back. Guys, I think you're underestimating the Denver situation a little bit. I just want to go back to it and ask you without looking.
Sure.
What would you say Olandis Gary did the year that Terrell Davis played four games, got hurt, and missed the rest of the season? How many rushing yards and touchdowns would you say Olandis Gary had?
So he played 12 games that year?
Mm-hmm.
I would say he probably had 1,000 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Very close. Olandis Gary had 1,159 and 7 rushing touchdowns. That's
yeah, real good season. Yeah,
that is
what
amazing.
What were the two Terrell Davis years before that?
2,000 yards, 1,700.
That's a lot of yards.
Yeah, but Gary only played 12 games. I mean, if Gary played 16 games, he has 1,600 yards and 10 touchdowns, 15 touchdowns. Now Terrell Davis in 2000 played 5 games. Okay. And Terrell Davis, you know, obviously got hurt. Okay. Mm-hmm. What would you say in 12 games Mike Anderson did that year for Denver?
Mike Anderson.
Same situation.
900 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Mike Anderson had 1,487 and 15 touchdowns.
1,487.
Okay. And 15 touchdowns, Joe.
Here's the funny part. Had Terrell Davis not gotten hurt and he just benefited where all these other guys did, we would never even know.
We would never know. My point is that Terrell Davis was great, but that was running back factory.
You are okay. Absolutely 100%.
Hold on.
Right,
let's continue this conversation. Okay. So Terrell Davis the following year played in 8 games.
I'm trying to continue the actual conversation.
No. He played in 8 games. Okay. Uh-huh. And then what would you guess Mike Anderson did in the 7 games that he played? It wasn't as good. It was actually not nearly as good.
600 yards and
678 and 4 touchdowns, and Olandis Gary had 228 and a touchdown. And I think that there was somebody even the following year.
Had he not gotten hurt, we would never know this whole Denver running back thing that we always make fun of, the plug and play running back, that every year it was a different guy and every year they were fantasy studs. You just draft whoever the running back is in Denver. And it's kind of funny because had we never known that, I wonder where we would think of Terrell Davis in the pantheon if he was able to have 1,500 yard seasons of 10 touchdowns.
And again, the zone blocking running back was the first time that we ever saw that. And the year that, how about this one?
Zone blocking, that's a nice way of saying the chop blocking offensive line, too. Yeah, let's not forget. True. Yeah. Okay.
Mike Schlereth. Okay. So the year that Davis retired, do you remember who the running back was that came in after that? I'll tell you.
It wasn't Travis Henry yet.
Clinton Portis.
Oh, Clinton Portis. Well, Clinton Portis was a pretty good running back. Let's not.
But he wasn't as good as Mike Anderson. He only had 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns rushing and 15 touchdowns receiving. It was ridiculous, man. Whoever they put in.
Wacky, but talented, for sure.
Regardless.
Do you want to do any of these other ones or no?
Not really. I just want to get in with that. We spent 12 minutes on Denver running backs. Okay. Yeah. Bo Jackson for me was my favorite athlete of all time. Baseball, football. I had never seen anybody do that. And you're right. I mean, an absolute bleeping shame that he got hurt on that tackle in Cincinnati. And
incredible that he came back and played Major League Baseball in an
incredible, incredible. Covered
that's
him in spring training.
Don't
too.
Talk enough about is the aftermath that he came back and he played. I don't care how well he played. The man played Major League Baseball with an artificial hand.
Yeah, yeah. Did an interview with him for about 30 minutes, signed a football for me. I have it in my office. Pretty cool.
Yeah, I actually got to be on a field with him at a FanDuel contest a couple
years
ago.
Yeah, I think I remember that, man. Yeah, I remember that.
Home run derby. I got to hit a home run in front of Bo Jackson.
That's
I actually
awesome.
Went yard once, dead center field, Bo Jackson right behind me. That was a fun moment. I was like, wow. Yeah.
Along the lines of Terrell Davis, if you have him on this list, but along the lines of Terrell Davis, the second overall pick in fantasy after Terrell Davis was Jamal Anderson in those same years.
Mm-hmm.
They got to the Super Bowl. Jamal Anderson was awesome and then got hurt and boom, he was done quick. That was just, you know, I mean, he was quicker than all of them. Like he had that one good year. I think he got hurt the second year in game two and it was a wrap, right? Like his career was basically.
It was done. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Different era too. Gale Sayers obviously is one that comes to mind. Sterling Sharp was one too, who was having a brilliant career.
He was.
Favre. Yeah. And then obviously, I mean, you could look and Favre made a lot of other wide receivers useful. You could start to make that same argument, I'm sure, with Sharp. But, you know, Sharp was a pretty talented guy. The eye test tells you, it makes good guys great. And the mediocre guy's good. I always feel like that's what good quarterbacks or good offensive lines do. Sean Taylor, another great player. Obviously a tragedy there. Jerome Brown, another tragedy too. Mm-hmm. Both guys kind of taken a little too young, obviously, for some horrible reasons there. Tony Boselli was a guy too that just a tremendous player. And nobody talks about linemen enough. But Boselli was an incredible talent. And anybody will tell you that anybody who went up against him told you that he was the best there was, or one of the best there was.
For sure.
But people don't talk about him, and he's still trying to scratch into the Hall of Fame still, which is kind of crazy to me. Like, I feel like, isn't it time to put Tony Boselli in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, he was a great offensive lineman. Priest Holmes had a 10-year career. He didn't do much in Baltimore, and then he went to Kansas City.
That's why I didn't put him in there, because he did play for a long time.
He
in that Larry Johnson, Priest Holmes, it's the system, it doesn't matter who it is.
Yeah, for sure.
Robert Smith was another one who was a very good back who did not last as long as
he actually retired, though. He chose to retire. Yeah,
he did. Barry Sanders retired too, but I mean, we saw enough. I didn't put Barry Sanders because we saw Hall of Fame Barry Sanders. So Al Toon was another player. Now, I grew up watching a lot of, unfortunately, New York football during the 80s. And I remember Al Toon. And Al Toon was an absolute beast of a wide receiver. This guy was incredible. Ton of concussions. Had they had the concussion protocol back then, I wonder what he would have been. And had he had better quarterback play than Ken O'Brien? Like, I wonder if he played with Joe Montana, what we would think of Al Toon at that point. And there's like other couple guys too for their own, you know, we have some death on here. We have injuries. We have also honorable mentions, guys who just couldn't, for whatever reason, get out of their own way. Ryan Leaf, certainly. What if? Like Ryan Leaf didn't have talent. Lawrence Phillips, who Dick Vermeil still says was the most talented running back he ever coached. But obviously, he passed away last year. I did not realize that. Did you? Found dead in his jail cell.
Yeah, you know what? I think I did hear that.
As I was researching this, I saw that. And I was like, oh, wow, I forgot. But Lawrence Phillips, certainly I'm sure you remember him in college. I mean, just an incredible talent. Maurice Claret. Now, I always wonder about Maurice Claret. Was he a college talent that would not have translated to the NFL, or do you think differently of that? Because I get a lot of people saying
he was a very great high school player,
right?
That
good college player too in Ohio.
But did not fulfill the expectation of him in. I mean, he did win a championship there. I remember he scored the game winning touchdown. I was there at the Rose Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl. I'm sorry, when they beat Miami, but Joe did not fully reach those expectations in college. Like he could have even been better, but he was a phenomenal high school player. He was supposed to be the number one running, but he had all kinds of issues off the field and stuff like that.
Speaking of issues off the field, Brian Bosworth, another one too, who was an absolute monster in college.
No doubt. Oklahoma. And then he got ran over by Bo Jackson. That was it.
That was it. Never the same after that. I'll tell you, that was a good 30 for 30. If you haven't seen that one.
Yeah, I did see that. That was
a really good one. He's a very likable guy on the back end. Life there. He really likable dude.
Yep. All right. Coming up next, Thursday night preview. And then we got our exit velocity. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
I want people to think about the healthcare workers. You know, we can say, I'll take the risk
I'll get on a plane and go see my family for Thanksgiving because that's important to me. I'll take the risk. If I get sick, it'll be fine. The problem with that is that you don't have a choice if you're going to get sick or not. And maybe you won't get sick, but you don't have a choice as to who you'll infect. And we don't have a choice if they'll die or they'll live.
That's Fiona Tulip, a grieving daughter who lost her mother to COVID-19. Fiona wants to make sure her mother, a Latina frontline worker from Texas, is more than just a number scrolling on the news feed.
We've got to think about the people who are working and risking their lives to save our lives. And we have to remember that we don't have a choice into how this virus acts. We can't choose whether it infects us or infects someone else, and we can't choose if we stay alive or if we die.
I'm Justin Beck, founder and CEO of Contact World. Listen to Contact World, the podcast, on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
Welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today, and this is Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia with you here on the show. And the highly anticipated Thursday night NFL showdown, where if you've been listening to our show since the beginning of the season, a very depressed Joe Pisapia at the beginning of the year on Thursday nights was literally burning money every week. He couldn't win. And then all of a sudden, he caught fire. He's coming off 2 weeks in a row of Thursday night wins, a Monday night win. And now we'll see if he can pull off yet another one tonight in the NFL. We've got the Vikings and Redskins. Vikings minus 16, 16 and a half. We'll get a final line on this before we make a decision. The over-under is 42. We're going to go through all the player props as well here. I know you guys wait for that as well. And we'll break them all down for you here on this segment. But Joe, you are on fire. Let's see if you could keep it going. We need the momentum for all the people who are listening. There are millions of dollars at stake based on this one opinion of yours on this Thursday night. In fact, we're going to put the line at 16. I'm seeing 16 flat here. So let's get rid of this minus 16 and a half. We'll put it at 16. And Joe, let's give an opinion on the game, some game flow here. How do you think it plays out?
I can't help but pick up some patronizing tones in your voice as we're doing this. I just want to point that out there. I pick up your sarcasm. I know you're laying it.
You're on fire right now. Come on. Come on. Everyone out there is, they're at the betting window. They're listening on the app. They got their earpods in.
Yeah. Usually they just do the opposite of what I say on Thursday night.
You were the ultimate fader, but now they love you.
They love me. Everybody loves me. I'm the comeback kid. All right.
You got the Monday night right. You got last Thursday right.
But they will not cover the 16.
Wow. A side with the Skins plus the 16.
Okay. Yeah, I think the Redskins are going to try to make this a dirty game here. They're going to try their best to figure that a way to do that. I don't know how, but I think they're going to. And Adam Thielen not being in this game does take another weapon out of there for Kirk Cousins. But Cousins has played very well. I don't know. I just have a hard time with Thursday night football, just generally seeing, you know, it's rare that we see enormous scores like we saw 2 weeks ago. Like that was, you know, one of those things we see. Wow. Oh my God. Look at the Rams and Seahawks putting up a huge amount of points. So therefore, just off of that, I don't know. I have a lot of faith in Terry McLaurin. I have faith that Case Keenum wants to go in there and show a little something too. So I don't think this is just like a cakewalk kind of game. So okay. I do think the Vikings will win, but the 16 is too much. So okay. There you go. You can lock that up, everybody.
All right. There you go. I will take the Vikings. Thursday night home teams are just so good in the NFL, and I will take them
16 too, or no?
I will lay the 16. Yes, I will lay the 16 tonight with Minnesota. But I do think that you could be right. I think it will be a low scoring game. In fact, just from my perspective, I'm not doing anything on this game at all tonight. I am going over in the Houston SMU game. That will be my play for tonight. Can I use that one instead of this one? I think I will.
You can do whatever you want.
65 what about points. I'm going over in that game. Over tonight. And I'm not a big over guy. I would go under in Vikings Redskins tonight. In fact, I may like that more than I like the Vikings. I would minus 16. Yeah. All right. So
then give me your score if you're under. So if you're under. What's the score here?
I would say 23-3. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oof. Redskins didn't score at all last week. I don't know.
Last week. Forget last week.
I'm very worried about their offense, man.
should be. It's not very good. But
thank
I
you.
I'm going to find a way to go out there and be useful.
I hope McLaurin scores, but man, I don't
know. McLaurin's, I think you got to run him out. There's no way you can. He's probably ranked in the.
I'm playing Juju over him.
Well, Juju has a very good matchup, so it's not terrible. Now, it depends on your faith in Mason Rudolph, which probably could be.
I'm playing Mason Rudolph in the same league. I have no choice.
Oh, man, you are all in.
Well, Lamar Jackson is off this week. I got to get a backup.
Yeah, I hear you.
Who are you going to play? You going to play Fitzpatrick over him? No.
No, but did you did
Rivers at the Bears?
Waivers ran in the guillotine and now is free agency.
Oh, the guillotine? No, this is a different league we're talking about.
Oh, no, but I'm asking you, were you able to pick up Carr?
Yes, yes. Okay. And I didn't even cut Flacco. I cut Gordon.
Okay, oh, there you go. See, look at that. Thing's working out for you. So now who are the starting quarterbacks this week for you? Is it Allen and Carr?
It will be Carr and Bridgewater or Carr and Allen.
Oh, what's got? Well, hopefully Bridgewater. So you got some time there to figure that out.
Yeah,
so.
But I'm.
Isn't Drew Brees out there too on the waiver wire?
No, he got picked up.
He did get picked up. Okay, very good.
That's what. Yeah, no, I feel very comfortable going into this week, and I don't have any guys on bye weeks like a lot of the other teams do. So if I can get through this week, I think I'm in good shape. But look, I keep saying that every week, and every week I do well.
It is. You're magic in that league.
I mean, dude. Listen, even if I get knocked out, we rolled 9 weeks of content out of this.
Hey, 9 weeks of content off of the guillotine league with it started out with Eli Manning and Case Keenum.
Can you imagine that? Eli, I mean, that's a lesson for everybody that shows you no one knows anything about fantasy. In a super flex guillotine league with money involved, keep in mind. You
work for a fantasy sports company, right? I don't know if that's the best thing to
always say. I don't care. I call it like it is. Think about that. I drafted Eli Manning and Case Keenum in a guillotine super flex league, and I beat eight other teams.
In all fairness, I'm just curious, where are you in points for the year in that league? Because because if this wasn't a guillotine league and you just happen to have some good luck, I don't think it proves.
Oh, I had a little bit of luck. Oh, for sure.
You had a lot of bit of luck potentially too. I don't know if you're like one of the highest scoring teams. I imagine not. Just because, you know, so maybe as a record team, you would probably be 2-5 right now with that team.
Here we go, Mish. All right, I have 852 points.
Okay. So of the remaining alive,
of the remaining teams left, I have more points than 1, 2, 3.
Okay, so you're probably a 3-4 team in realistically speaking.
Oh yeah, I got lucky. Okay.
You're alive.
I ain't saying that. I didn't get lucky. I got the butt up the butt.
Next year. I don't know who's running it.
That'll be easy. But I'm only 20 points behind somebody else too. So, and again, over a 8 week sample, that's like nothing. That's like 2 points. So I am a middle of the road team without a doubt. And yeah. Having Michael Thomas and drafting him was the key to the whole success of this thing. Cause without him, I'd be dead. And getting DeAndre Hopkins could end up being really good for me, too, because I don't think there's anyone that's going to be on the wire that's as good as Hopkins unless I get knocked out. Somebody will get him. Okay, where are we? I have no idea. All right, okay, the totals here. Cousins pass yards for tonight, Joe. Over, under, 247.5.
I am going to go under.
Under 247.5, okay. Under 247.5. I will disagree. I'll go over. Keenum pass yards, 214.5.
I'm going to go over. Garbage. Yay. No running game. No AP.
I'm going under this too. Cook 90.5 yards.
This is rushing. Total?
Rushing.
Rushing. Oh, yeah. I'm going to go over on the rushing.
Feels right. Madison 36.5.
Under. All Cook.
All Cook tonight. Okay.
Yeah. Give me the Cook.
Stephon Diggs 89.5. These are all courtesy of FanDuel, I need to mention.
I'm going to go over because just the sheer volume. He's going to get a little double-digit target, so that's probably going to be an over because no Thielen.
Okay, well, obviously you're going over on McLaurin if you have Keenum going over 240.
Yeah, let's do it. Over McLaurin. He's going to be in the 70s or 80s tonight, I think.
Okay, 61.5 is his number. Mm-hmm. Trey Quinn, that was the number, a name you gave me like weeks ago, but that hasn't worked out.
Nope, hasn't worked out.
Quinn receptions, 3.5. I haven't even heard his name all year. Has he? I know it looks like a stat sheet says he's played a little bit this year.
He's played
that's terrible, no. Terrible quarterback.
Terrible quarterback. Hard to judge him, but I'm going to say under.
Yeah, I feel that's right. Under 3.5. Paul Richardson, man, this guy sometimes scores touchdowns and sometimes gets zeros. 2.5 receptions?
Over. Let's do it.
That's a good one, man. Let me star that one. I like that one.
Oh, and there it is. Oh, it's got 4 stars.
I gave him 4 out of 5 stars right there. That seems like a great bet.
It's you. 4-star in that bad boy. Look out.
2.5 for Richardson. He's the number two receiver there.
I like it. I'm all in, baby. I told you.
I like
Case
that
Keenum
one.
Revenge narrative game. He's not going to win, but he's going to be all right.
I like Case Keenum. It's a shame that he's terrible, but I do like
him. I like him. It's a shame he's terrible.
It's a shame. It is a shame because I do like him.
That was very
I love that play that I won money on the Diggs play that he threw to Diggs where Diggs jumped up in the air. The guy went low and then he ran for the touchdown.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. That was an amazing play. I remember that. Okay, Cook, rushing and receiving yards total, 1, 2, 3.5. 123.5 total yards for Dalvin Cook, Joe.
You know what? If I'm going over on the rushing, I have to go over on this one, too.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You have to, too.
All
right, so those are the props tonight. Look, the Thursday night games, unfortunately, have not been sexy. The night games in the NFL have not been. I take it back. The Monday, even the Sunday, but most of the primetime games have not been sexy in the NFL. I mean, we had the Giants and Patriots a couple weeks ago. You know, last week's game, Mahomes got hurt. Sunday night, Dallas and Philly. I don't know, Joe. Like, I mean, is there anything that they could do about this? No, right? Like, this is just what we're stuck
Thursday
with.
Thursday night football? I mean, is that
a Monday night too?
Well, you know, but look, it's
you cannot make a case that Monday night's been good this year, Joe.
No, but also it's you can't always make the case you could predict everything. I mean, look how good of a matchup that Sunday night game looked like on paper just last week. Oh my God, again, Mahomes and Rodgers, and now it's Matt Moore and Rodgers. So right off the bat, that takes an enormous hit there. But you know, look, this is just part of scheduling. You know, it's just
Pittsburgh and Miami Monday night.
Well, that would have been a turkey, obviously, a turkey right away. Like, that should have been, I don't know how that happened, but the reason the reason that one happens is because the Steelers are a national team. So,
yeah, but Miami should never have got a Monday night game.
No, Miami shouldn't have got, no, I don't know how that happens. I don't know how or why. I don't know what the mindset is there, but it's a complete and utter disaster. So,
and Thursday night, you know what? The games on paper were supposed to be good, but the results have been very poor. For the most part this season, Atlanta Philly was a good game. Seattle and the Rams was a good game. Can I go any further? I don't think so. I think there's been three good games all year at night.
Yeah.
Yikes. Okay. Before we go, we teased this earlier in the show. Michael Jordan, best player in the history of all of sports, probably. Interesting interview the other day on Yahoo, said that he didn't believe that Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer yet. Now, we know that Jordan has been known to pop off and say some strange things in the past, but Joe, Steph Curry's a Hall of Famer, right? Like, not even.
I think so. I mean,
we just took three championships already.
But I'm pretty sure he's scoring a lot of points. Well, here's the thing. Steph Curry is a Hall of Famer for the era that he's playing in, and you can only judge players in the era they're playing in. And right now, I mean, how do you not say he's not a Hall of Famer? I mean, he's probably the most feared shooter in the game for the last 6 years or whatever it's been. And I mean, yeah, would he have been the same player he is back when Jordan played? Of course not. Absolutely not. A guy like that, no way. But the game has just changed. And I don't want to say evolved, I just say changed. It's such a different game where, you know, they just run up the court, they stop at the 3-point line and throw up a three. And that's just what it is. And Curry's
part of it. Yeah.
You know, and that's unless you're going to stop him.
I don't know where that comes from. Like, of all the guys to if I said to you, give me five guys that are playing in the NBA right now that have a chance for the Hall of Fame, Steph Curry is two, probably one.
I mean, it's LeBron and then you go Steph Curry. That's where you go.
Right.
I wonder if he's needling him a little bit, like just for fun. I mean, no, he's not a Hall of Famer yet because he hasn't retired. So
that's the only reason why.
I mean, like, did he say this with a smirk? Did he say this with a straight face or?
I mean, James Harden is going to be in that conversation if he continues to play. Russell Westbrook is in that conversation.
I mean, look, it's a very different.
Right there. Of course, it's very different, but we're dealing with the here and now. And Jordan.
And you deal with the here. Well, but I'm also the same guy who thinks all the steroid guys should be in the Hall. Like Rafael Palmeiro should be in the Hall of Fame. Sorry. He's got better numbers than a lot of the other guys who are in the Hall of Fame. I don't care what he took or didn't take. If enough people were on them, when there's already people who we know were on them who are in the Hall of Fame.
This is a wide open show for another day. Maybe our holiday show. Go on steroids during the holidays. Yeah, we'll
talk about that. That's the best time for it. Get that.
All right. We got some baseball news. We got some baseball news to get to, and I'll do it next in a little exit velocity. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When markets change, leaders must reinvent. We all know that's more important than ever. Sales Disruptors is a brand new podcast from Exactly, the global leader in helping businesses reinvent the way they manage sales. Join us for candid conversations with global business leaders on how to thrive no matter what the market throws at you. Sales Disruptors. Download today on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. What do we mean by sales disruptors? Well, it's today's business leaders sharing their experience on how they manage through change, like...
So this is a great opportunity to sharpen your tools. In a down market where you're not making a lot of big changes, there's an opportunity to go back and clean up things that need attention. Everything has wear and tear, so there's a great opportunity to go back and get caught up.
Tune in to Sales Disruptors, an Exactly podcast on Spotify or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Joe Pisapia.
And welcome back to the show. As we end the show today, we've got a couple of new managers being hired in Major League Baseball. That is my topic as we end up here with a little exit velocity.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Exit velocity.
Nice velocity.
Wow, a contrasting day in terms of hiring in Major League Baseball managers. On the one side, you have Joe Girardi dubbed to take over the Philadelphia Phillies. On the other side, the Padres have hired Jace Tingler as their manager. One, a great player in baseball, a great manager with the New York Yankees, and manager of the year with the Florida Marlins. Another with no managing experience whatsoever, coming in from player development. So what is this signal in Major League Baseball? Less than half of the managers that are being hired these days will have some experience in some way. And the other half will be guys that GMs and presidents simply want to have because they're in their organization and they believe in them. Is this a good thing for baseball? Well, look, on the one hand, of course it's good because you're seeing guys like Joe Girardi with a proven track record getting more experience. But is it a good thing that 29 teams across the league with 4 or 5 minor league affiliates and bench coaches and managers all across are getting passed up by just a favorite within their own organization? I suppose teams can do whatever they want and they can make decisions that they want, but it certainly isn't a great sign for a young up-and-coming coach or manager to get a gig outside of his organization in the future, because if we're simply picking favorites, we're going to see a lot more Jace Tinglers than we are Joe Girardis. And that'll do it for the show today. Thanks again to John Lopp for coming on. For my co-host Joe Pisapia and our producer Sean Guastamacchi, a full-time fantasy is next. I'm Craig Mish. Talk to you tomorrow at noon Eastern. Have a great day, everybody. See ya.
These days, the hustle's nonstop. When you need to unwind, reach for a Coors Light. It's the only beer that's literally made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold-filtered, and cold-packaged. You know it's time to chill when the mountains on the cans and bottles turn blue. Don't feel like running to the store? Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. So kick back with Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. Coors Brewing Company in Golden, Colorado encourages you to celebrate responsibly.
Are you a Henry? It stands for high earner, not rich yet. It means that despite earning a six-figure income, you're struggling to amass any meaningful nest egg. Our friends at The Motley Fool can help. Since 1993, they've been providing investment advice, helping members build the financial future they envision. To kickstart your 2021 financial goals, they're offering 5 of their favorite stock picks for free. Realizing you're a Henry? Remember the not rich yet part. You can do it, and The Motley Fool can help. Visit fool.com/bestbets.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.